Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. On today's show, we'll be looking at how we support ourselves in awareness practice. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your calls. So stay tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to be on the air here.
It is wonderful.
Yes.
Yes, I'm eager to see who's going to call and what issues are going on in people's lives.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Let me give out that phone number, 888-514-2100. Phone lines are open. Give us a call here. We'd love to talk with you today on this election day across the country.
Oh, that's true. It is election day, isn't it?
It is election day.
I could have noticed that because I right there on my shirt it says I voted.
Oh, great.
So,
Congratulations.
Thank you. I voted. I got my little sticker, but I passed up the lollipop and the cookies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought voting was reward enough. I didn't need to go the rest of that route.
Wow, that was more than was offered at my polling place.
Well, it's the advantage of a small town. it's like a party, you know.
Yes.
And any excuse to get the neighbors together. So
yes,
that's very good.
You can also email us your questions anytime at openair@livingcompassion.org. So if you have anything that comes up during the week, an issue you're looking at, just, you know, you don't have to wait till the showtime. Just get on your computer and send us an email.
Which is the whole point of what we're doing, isn't it?
Yes.
The whole point of what we're doing is attempting to bring in communication and offer support for all of us who are scattered all over the world, attempting to do this sometimes kind of challenging task of bringing conscious, compassionate awareness into our lives and into the world.
Yes.
The more we can get together, the more we can be together and support one another, the easier our task is. So taking advantage of something like this, calling in, I understand that for a lot of people, calling in is kind of scary. But it's possible to email something
yeah.
in, and we'll address it just as if you're there on the other end of the phone line, and so it's good. It's good to avail oneself of all of the support that one can find.
Yes, yes. As you were talking, I noticed that I can go to a place where I think I'm the only one doing this.
Yes.
And it's really hard, and I don't know what to do.
Yes.
And as you talked about, seeking out these opportunities to support ourselves is really helpful.
Yes. In fact, as you very well know, we just finished doing a rather large event with Living Compassion.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. It was fun. It was all of those things that we like.
You yeah.
know, we played hard, and we got very tired.
Yeah.
And we're already planning the next event.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so much fun to be in the game.
Yeah.
It's fun to be focused on something that is heart-opening and inspiring and, you know, I wake up in the morning and I just kind of want to bounce up and get started.
Uh-huh.
You know, because today is fun.
Yes.
And if I were to follow the encouragements of conditioned mind, then I would, you know, seek out the bad news and get all of the stories about everything that's wrong and what didn't work in the world yesterday and what's probably not going to work in the world today, and I wouldn't feel like bouncing out of bed.
Yeah.
So, as you very well know, one of my favorite things to keep in mind is that the quality of one's life is determined by the focus of one's attention.
Uh-huh.
So if we want to have a life that's fun and exciting and filled with adventure, then we want to keep our attention focused on those aspects of life.
Yeah.
Not focused on what is hard and painful and miserable, thinking that it's going to lead us to a happy life somewhere in the future. It's not. It's going to lead us to a life of misery. So that's my little encouragement for the day.
Yes. So wherever our attention is focused, that's what our quality of life is going to be.
That's right.
So if it's on something wrong, I don't have enough, loss, lack, and deprivation, that's going to be our experience.
That's right. And the voices in most people's heads are right there, ready and willing at any time to get into that conversation. And there's just tremendous conditioning toward it. It's kind of, for an awful lot of people, it's the default setting. You know, if you're not actively focusing your attention on something, and of course, as meditators, what we focus on primarily is the breath. So if I'm not directing my attention, then conditioned mind will take over the direction. And it wants to slide into what's wrong. And then get into a conversation about that. And of course, guess what? Pretty soon, I'm not enjoying life. And then I think that that's because life is not enjoyable, rather than realizing this conversation in my head is not enjoyable. And, you know, I can't really do that much about life. I really can do something about this conversation in my head.
Sherry, I have some good news. We have a caller on the line.
Wonderful.
I'd like to welcome Carolyn from Denver. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi. I can't believe I called.
You're very courageous.
I had to pretend like I was another person to pick up the phone and dial.
Whatever works, huh?
Yes.
Good.
Well, I'm calling for two reasons. The first is I realized last week after I left a poetry workshop, I realized that I was the only person in our group who hadn't read out loud what I had written. And then I realized that I had somewhere acquired this rule or this belief that everyone else's needs to speak are more important than mine. So that's what led me to pick up the phone and call.
Very good.
Break that belief.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel good, does it?
No.
No. It's my image of that is that you spend all day in the kitchen baking this wonderful cake, and then you serve it to all of the guests, and what's left for you is an empty plate to wash.
That's a perfect metaphor.
Yeah. And maybe once it's okay. It doesn't really feel good. But, you know, it's okay. But after a lifetime of that sort of approach, resentments can start to spring up. Depression can start to be a companion. It doesn't feel good to be left out.
No, or to leave myself out.
Yes. Yeah. And and that's the only one doing it, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It's not like other people say, you know, sit down. We don't want to hear from you.
No, although I can project all the time that other people are.
Oh, sure.
But it's me.
Yeah.
But I'd also like to talk about the, well, the reason I called is that I'm currently being tortured by self-hate. I've been working on a manuscript for almost 2 years, and I'm in the very final couple of months of editing, I think. And when I sit down to work on it now, this is kind of the tiny, like, wordsmithing the details.
Yes.
I'm aware of the part of me who loves, you know, playing with a thesaurus and the dictionary. There's this part of me that's eager and willing and excited. But there's this voice that is just endless. And the voice, well, it's essentially giving me two messages. One is that I have to hurry up and get finished and I have to be good enough. And the other is that I'm too slow and ineffective and I'll never be good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, neither one of these is exactly uplifting. These are not, you know, if you have a free afternoon, you're not going to call either one of these folks to come over and spend some quality time with you.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I listen to them, and I intend to not believe them, and I do the work, but I just end up feeling miserable.
Yes. Yes, which is the whole point, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So what you're missing is the person that we would like to spend the afternoon with. The one who says, I just love spending time with you. It doesn't really matter what we do. I just really enjoy your company. It's really enough for me that we get to have this time together.
Mm.
So you want to write? Oh, great. I'll just sit here with you while you write. You want to run anything past me? I'd love to hear it. Can you imagine if you could write every day with that person?
Oh, I'd just be soaring.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's available to you. Once again, it's turning the attention away from those two folks who are there just to make sure that even though you're doing something you love, you don't get to enjoy it, okay, because that's what those two are doing.
Right.
So you turn your attention away from those folks, and you turn your attention toward the part of you who actually likes you. And that's not a familiar person for an awful lot of people, because the conditioned response is to have the attention on the you should be different. You never have been good enough, and you're never going to be good enough. Okay, but we can turn our attention away from that and turn our attention toward the part of us who is actually kind and supportive and compassionate.
Okay.
And then we nurture that relationship. Okay. So that's why, of course, we meditate, right? So
right.
That you have time every day to be in the presence of that part of you who is kind and compassionate and has your best interest at heart. We foster that relationship. We increasingly give more and more time and attention to that part of us who is kind and compassionate. And that's the relationship then that grows.
Well, I did. These voices got very strong a couple weeks ago. And then last week I meditated an hour every day.
Good for you.
But can you talk more about turning the attention? I mean, I seem to have that idea or that intention, and yet I still, it's like those voices are just screaming at me. I can't.
Yes, they are.
I just feel stuck.
They are screaming at you. And the thing to keep in mind is that, again, the only energy they have is what you give them.
Okay.
Okay. So they scream to get your attention, and they're scary and they're upsetting, and so you give energy to trying to push them away, trying to resist them, trying not to take this information personally, not to get. Okay. So they've got you in intimate relationship.
Yes.
What you're going to practice doing is imagining that you just fell in love. You just fell in love with this wonderful person who is a writer and loves words and loves to, create in this way and has all sorts of other really interesting things that she does. And so that's where your attention is, okay, because you just love this person, okay? You want to spend time with her. You want to please her. You want to do little nice things for her, give her gifts. Make her feel special. And can you picture it?
Yes.
Yeah. So all day long, you're coming up with those thoughty little things that you can do to let this person know that you really, really care about her.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you cannot overdo this process. Okay. So, you know, if you do 10 things tomorrow and you do 50 things the next day and 100 things the next day and, you know, get up to a few thousand so that your attention is always on kindness, always on caring and affection and support and encouragement. Now, the voices, of course, are going to start telling you that you're going to be really self-centered, egocentric, indulgent and this sort of thing, and they will tell you that because it's not true. Okay? They tell you everything they tell you because it's not true.
Okay.
All right?
Yes.
You got your program?
Yes, it sounds very joyful, and I'm eager to try it tomorrow.
And I'm eager to hear how it goes.
Okay.
All right, let us know.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here today. Great to hear from Carolyn in Denver. Our phone number here is 888-514-2100. Sherry, it's great to have her call in today.
Yeah, of course, we don't actually know if that was Carolyn.
Because she said
she needed to be a different person in order to call.
Yes, that's true.
Right? But it didn't matter, did it? Because whoever that person was, that was an issue that I bet all of us can relate to.
Yes.
Yeah, so we can call up and be anybody. It doesn't matter.
Yes. And if you want to get...
What is in a name, after all?
What is in a name, or even a place, for that matter?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we can be completely anonymous. One of the things that happens in a retreat or at the monastery when we do an evening group discussion, which this radio show is meant to be like, I try to remember not to use people's names when I call on them.
Uh-huh.
Because we sometimes record those, and then if I can remember not to call somebody by name, then it's just this anonymous person talking about a universal issue.
Yes.
And we can listen, and we can all put ourselves in that person's place.
Yes.
And see how we are like that, or how that particular issue manifests in our lives, and we all benefit from it. So.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're at the end of our first segment here. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a moment. Next on Open Air with Sherry Huber, we'll be talking more about how we support ourselves in awareness practice, and we'll be taking your calls. So stay tuned here, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Today we've been talking about how we support ourselves in awareness practice. And Sherry, we have another caller on the line here.
Well, I want to tell you three things first.
Okay, please.
Okay, first thing is, I love the music that they play on this show.
Yes,
I'm such a light jazz fan, and it just makes my heart happy. Did you hear the piece that they did on Josephine Baker?
When
the show first started?
Yes.
I'm such a fan of Josephine Baker.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to San Diego. I think it's the first weekend in December.
Yes.
And I think I have to go to Le Fontainebleau.
Uh-huh.
Don't you think?
Sounds really great, doesn't it?
Yeah. So this show has just been very meaningful for me so far.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten a great deal out of it. And now we have another caller.
Yes.
Almost too good to believe.
Almost too good to believe. I'd like to welcome Carla from Minneapolis. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Good
Hi.
Evening.
I am definitely in a rugged place.
Oh.
Yeah. I've noticed how over the last several weeks I've been becoming more depressed, and it seems like because I'm starting to listen more to the voices and believe them.
Okay, now let me catch up with you. So you have known that the voices are there,
mm-hmm.
and you have somehow managed not to allow them to control your world. And lately, you've been listening to them more and believing them.
That's what it seems like is true, because at least what I've noticed from the past is that the more that I do that, the more that I get out away from center, and just the harder a time that I have.
Uh-huh.
My experience is just not fun. It's hard and struggle, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be true in my experience.
Uh-huh. And does it feel like there is support for you?
It doesn't. Sometimes I'm trying to find the mentor, and I'll start to yell out, like, I am in my office. I am sitting on a chair, and I am looking at the computer, and that is all that is happening. This other stuff is not real. But it's more this desperate attempt to remind myself.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like I'll get just a pitter-pat of compassion, and then I'm sucked back out, and I'm on the floor just a mess. You know, where I can't do this. And that's what it is. It's I'm so far behind. I'll never catch up. How do you spend your day? You know, where does the time go? You know, how can it be that blah 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 blah? And then it's just this despondent place.
Which is not hard to understand, is it?
No.
When somebody is being beaten like that all day long, it's not hard to imagine that after a while they would become depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet you can't access in yourself that part of you who can realize that this is not true, who can intervene, get between that person who's being beaten and those voices doing the beating. You're not being able to stay in that disidentified place. Are you there? Hello?
Carla?
Hello?
I think we dropped Carla.
Oh.
Let's hope she...
Oh, my gosh. I hope she'll come back.
I hope she does, too. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Our phone number here today is 888-514-2100. Toll-free call. We'd love to hear from you. So give us a call. The phone lines are open here. And I have good news, Sherry.
Carla's back.
Caller, Carla from Minneapolis is back on the air.
Excellent.
Carla,
hi.
Are you there?
Hi.
So, yeah, that's definitely what's going on. And I've become identified with the person who's trying really hard and failing.
Yes.
It's all about the struggle and about I can't.
Yeah, and yes. So the part that's lost is moving into a place of feeling sympathy and compassion and understanding for that person.
Yeah,
that's what you're not being able to access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have become the one who's being beaten down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, when you talk to me like this, can you step back and feel sympathy for that one who's being so abused?
Well, I'm not sure what happens, but when I breathe, then I feel teary. And
teary?
I feel sad.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, it is sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, here's a person, a good person. Can we agree to that?
Yeah, they have somebody just kicking the baloney out of them.
Yeah, a really good person who's trying really hard and is getting a heap of abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my encouragement to you. Do you have a copy of the depression book?
I do. I've been reading it this morning.
Okay. And do you have a copy of There's Nothing Wrong With You?
I don't, but I lent it to a friend, but I'm thinking I might need to go and get one.
You might get it back.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you might do, I'm not selling products here tonight, but you might see about getting a copy of There's Nothing Wrong With You on tape or on CD.
Mm.
Okay, so that you begin to listen to that, and
uh-huh.
the voice that you're listening to is a voice telling you that the voices in your head are not telling you the truth.
Yeah.
Okay? If there is somebody that you can spend a little time with regularly, like every day, if you have a friend who loves you pretty unconditionally, who can just listen to you talk about what's going on and reflect that back,
uh-huh.
okay, that can help you disidentify.
I don't have that yet, but I can do the other things.
You don't have that?
I don't have that.
Okay. Okay. Well, one of the things that can also be a possibility is for you to call the monastery
mm-hmm.
and see if you can arrange to talk with one of the monks.
Like as a weekly, as a guidance thing or?
Yes.
As a daily thing?
It would have to be a weekly thing.
Right.
Okay. Get it a little later in the week if you can, and then check in with us every week.
Yep.
Okay. And so increasingly, you're turning your attention to things that remind you who you really are and that begin to cause a break between
uh-huh.
that voice and that person who is being abused by that voice.
That reminder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like the idea of the tape because, you know, as I'm reading the book, then I'll fall asleep or I'll, you know, the voice will tell me, like, oh, this isn't working. And whereas if I have the tape, it's just coming in.
That's right. That's right. And when you read the books, do the exercises.
Okay.
Okay, they're little exercises, and always do them. Even though you would think that, I've done this before, you know, I've answered this, I know. Okay, the other exercise that can be really helpful, are you right-handed?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you take your pen in your right hand, and you write, what do you need? Okay,
hmm.
And then you put your pen in your left hand, and let your left hand answer that question, and then just continue the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Get a picture of yourself when you're about 5 years old. Do you have one of those?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Put that and all lots of pictures of yourself at about that age around the house.
Okay.
And remind yourself every time you look at that little person, that's who's being beaten.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm writing it down.
Okay. Well, you can always visit the archives of the show, too. You can listen to our conversation again. That's another thing you can do.
Yep.
Okay.
It's that reminding, because it does. It just seems really real right now that
That's
all
right.
these horrible things seem so real. And
yes. Well, and they are real in the sense that you are trapped inside your head with this voice who hates you. Okay, so that's pretty real. So what we're trying to do now is get you out of that relationship. Get
yeah.
you know, walk outside. If the you know, look up at the sky. Be in nature as much as you can.
Uh-huh.
Breathe fresh air. Everything that's going to remind you that there is a world outside that abuse. Okay, say thank you. Just start through all of the things. Look around and just say thank you for all of the things that are in your life.
And so is it okay just to distract myself when the voices are talking like that?
Well, I never encourage distraction unless it's conscious. In other words, you might decide that this would be a really good time to go to a comedy, you know?
So kind of like, I guess what I mean by distraction is like, oh, there's that really bad feeling. So how could I focus on something that feels
Yes.
Good.
Yes, it's a good time to try everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So get a joke book and start reading jokes. Because what you're doing is taking the attention away from the voice. It's
uh-huh.
not that you're abandoning the person who feels bad.
Mm-mm.
It's what you're attempting to do is break that connection so that that person isn't getting information that makes her feel bad.
So almost when you say that, I can see that, like, where usually the mentor would step in between the two.
Yes. Yes.
It could be a joke book or the depression book or,
you take,
you know,
that, you take that little person who's being beaten and you sit down with her and start telling her jokes.
Just anything to cut off that stream abuse.
That's right. That's right. Take her for a walk. Yeah. Say, you know, the two of you take turns saying thank you for all of the things that you like best in life.
Yeah.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. And again, let us know how it goes.
I will. Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carla. You're to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, I think you touched on all the ways that we can support ourselves in awareness practice.
Yeah, well, at least some of them, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Not to mention workshops and retreats.
Yes. Yeah. We just kind of get to anybody who can interfere with that voice's ability to deliver its cargo of toxins.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, that reminds me. I mentioned earlier this would be great for Carla and for anybody who would enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mentioned the event that we're planning, and it's the one with the folks who do that CD splash that I love so much.
Uh-huh, yes.
And that would be a wonderful thing, too, to get that CD, and they can contact us, and we'll get the information about how to get it. And there's just song after song after song on that is just, in my experience, takes a person right back to their heart, just cuts through all of that self-hating, conditioned mind nonsense, and just helps us remember who we are and what life is about and what's possible for us. So that would be another great support.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. Wonderful. Sherry, we have another caller on the line here, and we're going to take a quick break before then, and we'll get back, and we'll be talking to our caller. In our next segment, we'll be talking about how we support ourselves in awareness practice, and we'll be taking your call. So stay tuned here to World Talk Radio with Open Air with Sherry Huber, and we'll be back in a moment. Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. It's great to be here and talk with everybody today. And we're talking about how we support ourselves in awareness practice. It's great to hear from everybody, isn't it, Sherry?
It is. You know, I thought of another way while we were on break there, and that is dancing. You know, when things are getting out of hand there and somebody wants to make you feel bad, then it can be good to turn on your favorite music and just start dancing. Just dance until there's not enough energy left to support the voice.
That's just fascinating. I didn't know what you were going to say, and that was that wasn't on my list of possibilities. So I think that's why we pay attention, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so much of that relationship with the voice that's trying to make us feel bad is energetic. So, you know, Carla's talking about sitting there and saying, there's nothing going on. I'm sitting in my chair. I'm looking at my computer screen. There's nothing. That stuff is not real.
Yeah.
But it's being held in place by a certain set of sensations in the body.
Uh-huh.
And so if we can get up and alter those sensations, you know, go for a walk, go for a run. That's why I suggested getting outside and breathing a lot of fresh air and moving around or dancing. It changes the sensations in the body, and therefore it changes our conditioned, the conditioned view that we're trapped in, because the conditioned view is tied to those sensations. When the sensations change, the view changes.
Yeah,
we can watch how the story, the conversation in the mind, tries to put us back in that same place again.
Uh-huh.
And then we just have to do something else that alters those sensations. And as we do that, we begin to realize that, whoa, this is not, in fact, real. It's just a matter of conditioning, programming. I'm trained to react in certain ways to certain feelings.
Yes.
I don't have to. Somebody else could be trained to react in a completely different way to the same types of sensations.
Yes.
So it's breaking those habit patterns. And, we do that through meditation, through coming back to the breath, and we can also do it through these other kind of more active approaches.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes. Wonderful. And we can also do it by calling into the show.
Mm-hmm. Having a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe the voices in our head.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'd like to welcome Bobby from Sacramento. You're on air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello, Sherry. Sherry?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. What's going on?
Well, I've been working a little bit on somebody's campaign that I hope will save a few lives. I don't think I'll have to mention that person, but I was listening to the caller before, and I just love listening to you work with people and give them a hand. I enjoy the transmission of the Dharma like that in action, and I think that's wonderful. And as you well know, I've always thought that's wonderful from the first time I saw you many years ago do that. And but I wanted to pass a little humor along on this show, too.
Very good.
And I love the dance. I love that scene in Zorba, the Greek, about the dance. I always just think that's a wonderful thing. It's all in the dance.
Uh-huh.
In Zorba, the Greek, you know. It's just at the end of the movie, even, in the dance. But I was sitting a couple weeks ago burning off some karma about somebody that I'm not too happy with, okay? And you know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my candle lit, and I download these mandalas sometime from there's a project where people make mandalas at Harvard. It's an art project that they all submit these in, children and folks from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen this before?
I haven't seen it. I'd love to see it.
It's very cool.
Do you know
it's
the
Mandala
the
Art Project? It's called the Mandala Art Project.
The Mandala Art Project. Oh.
And I don't know the exact web address. I'll try and send
it from
to
that,
the
though.
People there. But I have several of these that I use sometimes. And so I have the candle lit, and I'm sitting on this cushion. And this particular individual, I am not... I don't have very good feelings about them, but see, that's the reason I've chosen to sit with this person.
That's right.
And
just for everybody to catch up, that expression of burning off karma. So there you are sitting,
mm-hmm.
and what arises is all this conditioned stuff, the habitual thought patterns and the emotions that follow it, and you're just sitting there. You're not feeding it. You're not resisting it. You're just
mm-hmm.
letting it...
Mm-hmm.
wear itself out, letting it burn itself away.
Right, and the mandala catches on fire, okay?
Oh.
Now, this is so crazy because I've been known to get up in the middle of the night and sit 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm retired and I kind of go where God takes me. And I don't mean God at the First Baptist or anything else, and I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying where the way, where the spirit of all creation mm-hmm. takes us. And So that affords me the luxury of being able to do that, and it probably would even if I was doing, say, specific the 9-to-5 thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm sitting there doing that, and my wife, I rush and throw this thing in the commode and flush it, you know, because I don't want to burn the house down, the apartment down. My wife goes, "What's going on? I smell something burning." And I said, "It's bad karma."
Literally, you were burning away that karma.
Yeah, and I'm back on the cushion. Anyways, I'm going, "Oh, no, how appropriate." And, I mean, so then I'm looking at that even. I go, "Wow, that was some pretty bad karma I'm sitting here with." You know, but sometimes inward and outward realities really are reflections of the same thing.
Yes. And it's very good to have a sense of humor about it, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it would have been easy to make that into something really big and dark and whatever.
I know. Well, it's like I was watching these videotapes of Osama bin Laden, and the videotape comes in, and we get all this paranoia and fear and stuff over a videotape. And I'm going, here's a little man in a cave that sends a videotape, and the major news networks transmit this videotape, and everybody gets worked up. Now this guy gets all his airtime for free. I'm going, it's a videotape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and watch how fear works.
We're doing this project. You know, we have this organization called Living Compassion, and we just raised the money last weekend to buy our second house in Zambia, and so 8 more orphans are going to have a place to live, and we're attempting to raise money to create this peace center in Assisi, Italy. Do you think we can get that kind of airtime?
Exactly. And I send you all, you know, I contribute, and I go, this guy gets airtime with these rinky-dink videos, and I'm going, people spend millions of dollars for airtime. And I'm going, and this is what I can't understand the absurdity of the fear that gets worked up about this cheap video. And I'm going,
it's sad, isn't it?
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's very sad how frightened people are, and how conditioning feeds on that fear and fosters the fear. It's really sad.
Well. Right, and then I just figure, I don't want to get political here, but is there some way that I might even be able to feel some sense of love for even him and for the people that feel that much hatred toward me or towards or my people, or towards my country, or towards Americans, or towards whatever they're hating? What is that about? You know, where do
Well, and I don't think we have to look very far to answer that, do we?
No,
whether
because
it's accurate or not.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think that Shock and Awe kind of answers that real fast. That's one, you know, that to me makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Well, when we look inside ourselves and we see that level of fear that can come up, the threat, and we know that an animal cornered is frightened and becomes violent, is aggressive. An animal who wouldn't ordinarily be aggressive becomes aggressive if frightened enough. And so if we look inside ourselves at that kind of reaction,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's not hard to project that kind of reaction onto others as well. It's just, it's a shame. You know, one of the things that we look at in awareness practice is that things like anger and hatred are not true emotions. They're always camouflaging something else. And, of course, it's usually fear. Some kind of upset, disappointment, hurt,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. And then anger is the overlay, because anger and hatred seem powerful. Violence seems powerful as compared to those very...
And they're addictive emotions, if that makes sense.
Yeah. We don't want to go to places of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And so to continue to have that anger, the more powerful feeling emotions reinforced, yes, it's easy to get addicted to that sort of feeling big and strong and powerful, when what we're trying to avoid is feeling little and weak and vulnerable. So I think if we could get past the belief systems and the rhetoric and all of that nonsense, what we do is look each other in the eye and say, you know, we're exactly alike. So if I can figure out what's motivating me, I can be pretty sure about what's motivating you. If I know what's upsetting to me, I bet you're upset over the same thing. And we react in much the same way when we feel cornered and threatened.
You know, that is so true. I don't want to talk about myself too much because that's what I always do is talk about myself. But I researched anger pretty good most of my life. And underneath that, I saw exactly what you're talking about, hurt and fear, mm-hmm. just globs of it, mm-hmm. because of just attacks in various forms from where I grew up, so that I had to pose myself in an aggressive fashion to protect myself, and then the hurt that I grew up with, but the anger was a way of protecting myself after a while from that, and then retaliating from that,
And it's sad because it just all makes it so much worse.
Right. It justified, and then it became like a drug. I mean, it because it gives a sense of control.
Yes.
And then it's really sick because it becomes a disease. It becomes a disease just like alcoholism or anything else. The disease becomes, the anger becomes a disease that gives a sense of some sort of comfort that you're saying, I'm in charge here now. And then you see how countries that do that.
Yes, and so it takes us full circle, doesn't it? Back
yes.
to the way out of this is to sit still and just let it burn itself away.
And I'm seeing the cycle, and there's nothing wrong with you. I'm seeing that circle there.
Yeah.
You know, the cycle, once again.
Yeah, letting that energy just come up and not get channeled into anything, and then after a while it cannot maintain itself and it just falls away and we're left.
That whole cycle of abuse, you know, and that's really what it is, because we're abusing ourselves in that whole cycle.
Yeah.
We're really beating ourselves up, though we think we're punishing someone else.
Yes.
Eventually, I go, why did I do that to myself?
Yeah. And like awareness practice, huh?
Yeah, and I'm going to go, but I was telling a person about your practice, and I said, you know what? It only began just a minute ago.
Uh-huh. All of this?
Yes, it just began a minute ago. It was a thought ago that this began.
All right. Well,
when
I can hear that they're playing the music
began.
To dance us out.
Yeah, it means for me to get out of here. I love you, Sherry. I love what you've been doing all these years a minute ago.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for joining us, Bobby. You've been Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. It's been a great show today. I'd like to thank all of our listeners and callers. If you want to email us in the meantime, send us an email at openair@livingcompassion.org. Archives are at worldtalkradio.com. Sherry, do you have any parting messages for people here?
Well, I think that one of the things that's going to happen is that we're going to begin to put forth some little workshop kinds of questions for people.
Okay.
To focus, is that correct?
Yes.
And then we can all begin to look at these kinds of topics during the week and then report together what happened to us, what we saw, what we realized. And I think we're going to start that in the next couple of weeks, aren't we?
Yeah.
So people can come to the website and take a look and get their questions.
Yeah. Exactly. Wonderful.
All right.
And we'll talk to you all next week.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Sarah.